As a CEO or entrepreneurial leader, you want to focus on overall vision, alignment, and running a great business. You want your business to run efficiently, with less effort and little pain. Welcome to Operationally Speaking with Sergio Samel. Sergio and his very special guests will give you the tools to run your business well and gain the momentum to break through to the next level. Now, here is your host, Sergio Samel.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to episode number 22 of Operationally Speaking, where we exclusively focus on the art and science of operating entrepreneurial businesses. I'm Sergio Samel, your host, and I am the principal EOS implementer as well as Colby and Predictive Index specialist at Get Business Momentum, where we help owners and CEOs of small to mid-sized entrepreneurial companies like yours get what you want out of your business by implementing a simple, well-proven, and complete system for operating your company. Last week, I spent this time with Hal Levinson and Andrea Grubb, visionary and integrator at Trilogy Partners. The three of us discussed the delicate yet extremely powerful dynamic between these two key functions in any entrepreneurial organization, the visionary and the integrator. The two of them shared the why, what, and how of their extremely successful collaboration and what that has done for their business stellar success. If you missed that episode, you can listen to it on demand here on the Voice America Business Channel, as well as wherever you listen to podcasts, such as on iTunes and Stitcher. And now let me introduce my great, great guests today. Yes, you got it. Two, Sue Hawks and Ali Stilbauer. Sue, you are the CEO at Yes, and by the way, that is spelled with a double S, where you help CEOs and their leadership teams succeed. As a best-selling author, keynote speaker, certified EOS implementer, certified business coach, WPO chapter chair, and globally recognized award-winning seminar leader, boy, my tongue is getting dizzy just by going through all these qualifications, Sue. You bring over 25 years of experience to your clients. You have designed and delivered dynamic transformational programs for thousands of business leaders. And you have received numerous awards, including the Dreamkeeper Award, recognized by the Governance Council for your leadership program, the Regional U.S. Small Business Administration Women in Business Champion of the Year Award, the Exemplary Woman of the Community Award, and Women Ventures Unsung Hero Award. You declare your passion to be helping people design and live successful, fulfilling lives through powerful leadership, effective communication, no-nonsense coaching, and healthy teamwork. Ali, you serve as business and communications manager at Yes, and beyond the company's messaging, your writing has appeared in Reflections and Ivory Tower Literary Magazines, among others. You co-founded the Women's Entrepreneurial Experience with Sue. So welcome to Operationally Speaking to the two of you. So to set a little bit of a framework here, Sue, how have you and I first connected?
Well, you and I met at the quarterly collaborative exchanges through EOS Worldwide, Sergio.
Well, it's been quite a few years back, right?
Yes, and several.
And of course, with you, Ali, I just got the opportunity to meet virtually, just preparing for this conversation. So I also like to start our conversation sometimes with a little bit of on a lighter note. You know, business can sometimes become a little bit too serious. So does any of you have like a favorite business anecdote or maybe a business joke you can share?
Well, this is Sue. What I would tell you is Christine Chen from Keylop USA said in Chinese, the word business is defined as helping each other make a meaningful living. And that's something that I think all great business leaders do. So that's one I would hang my hat on. How about you, Allie?
Mine comes from Sue. It's a anecdote that she has taught me both as a parent and an employer. And she has taught me that you always should ask for what you want, because if you don't ask, you're already at no. But if you do ask, you might just hear a yes. So she's really encouraged me to ask for what I want and not be afraid of hearing the word no.
And of course, you named your company Sue Yes, so we know what kind of answers you like, right?
Exactly.
So speaking of Yes, can the two of you tell us a little bit about Yes, like what its purpose is, what it is best at, and maybe even where do you see it in, say, 3 years or so?
So Yes is an acronym for Your Extraordinary Success Strategies, and we work with entrepreneurs and their leadership teams to help them maximize their people, purpose, and profit.
That sounds very, very kind of punchy and very, very precise. So what's best at, I would say?
You know, Sergio, what I would tell you is I think we gracefully help people work through the tough stuff. If I had to nail it down to one thing, that would be it. So we get in sticky situations with teams and groups, and we help them work through it where they would normally either not communicate or end in a bad way.
Isn't it sometimes actually pathetic how opportunities get squandered by people just not using a little bit of communication and going through and in sometimes even refusing external help, right? I'm sure you relate to that, Sue.
Absolutely.
And where do you see Yes in, say, about 3 years or so?
You know, 3 years from now, we will still be doing what we're doing. I think I will be speaking on greater stages. Allie should be implementing EOS as well by then. Mm-hmm. We'll have new offices. We've got quite a grand scheme. So we are very crystal clear. We're expanding our impact right now.
Well, this is so exciting. So let's get to actually to the main topic of our conversation today. And you called it Entitled to Enlightened. And of course, as I'm holding your brand new hot off the press book called Chasing Perfection, of course, this is exactly the title of chapter 10. So really, it is about, in a sense, generational stereotypes. So let's start with the basic, for both of you. What are generational stereotypes in the business context? We know what they are in the general society, but what are they actually and how do they manifest themselves in the business context? Anyone?
You know, I'm not a generational expert. So what I would tell you is I think what's happened over the years and precisely when the millennials came on board, I think they came in with a different construct for how they entered the workforce. But I think every generation preceding did as well. And I think what's happened over time is every generation tends to criticize the new one coming in for not having the one that's already socially accepted. And so to me, what we have to learn to do is to build bridges and really focus on communication and starting with common ground and maximizing those opportunities through our unique skill sets and the way we work, rather than focusing on difficult or differences and, you know, criticizing people or trying to change them. So collaboration is where I think it has to start. And to me, I think the millennials were the first generation and the most talked about generation in history, but the first generation where technology was a greater part of their life. And so their means for communicating is different than everyone preceding them. And then you've got Gen Z, the newest generation, where they've never known a world without technology. So I think how technology plays into that complicates how people communicate and prefer to communicate. So I think that's how the generations play at work differently than elsewhere.
So that's from your perspective, let's say maybe it's more of a leader's perspective. So Allie, I'd like to also hear from you. What's the other side of the coin vis-a-vis generational stereotypes?
I think it's similar from a millennial's perspective as well. I think the older generations see millennials differently, and I think millennials see the older generations differently. And if you are starting to stereotype, you can say, oh, well, we use technology in a more efficient way, or we have different priorities or values that we, you know, want to maximize in our life. But I think, as Sue mentioned, if you can build bridges and find common ground, you'll realize that while there are differences in the generations, there are also a lot of commonalities.
So you both kind of alluded to the fact that more than a kind of a generational difference issue, this is to a large extent a communication issue. So let's actually start talking about that. So what role does communication play in working across generations, of course, in the workplace, in the business context?
So to me, I think it plays a tremendous role. I think everything, every conflict and every great collaboration starts with effective communication. So I think it's the foundation for all good relationships as well as all well-executed strategies. So I really do believe it is the underpinning of everything.
But why is it an issue then? I mean, beyond the normal. So in other words, why is it maybe a little bit more difficult to communicate across these generations? And that maybe in particular, why the difficulty with the millennials as opposed to any other generations? As a matter of fact, you know, we have many, many kinds of generations that they all work together within the same organizations. But it seems to me, and obviously that's also the topic of the chapter in your book, and of course the reason we have both of you here in this conversation, it seems to me that there is something special about the communication across generation to and from the millennials. Any thoughts?
I'm not clear on the question.
So what is it more difficult vis-a-vis one's ability to communicate with millennials? Is it something special about the millennials that makes the communication a little bit more difficult?
This is Allie. My opinion would be it's tied to technology, like we mentioned. Mm-hmm. My generation grew up using technology, you know, from a very young age. And so we are comfortable communicating through technology, things like email or text, even if it's a conversation that probably requires a phone call or a face-to-face conversation. And I think that's where some of those communication breakdowns can occur, when you don't have that, you know, facial expression that you get to see when having a difficult conversation or a tone of voice. If you're just reading an email or a text, there's a lot of space for a miscommunication to occur. And I think millennials are more comfortable using technology, and so there's a higher opportunity for that miscommunication to happen.
That's really interesting. So we are going to have to take a break in just a few seconds. But when we come back, I'd like to dig a little deeper into this and see how we can actually bridge this kind of difference, especially when it comes to the use of technology. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain, so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com, or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Tune in to The Soul of Enterprise, Business in the Knowledge Economy, with co-hosts Ron Baker and Ed Kless. Ron and Ed will show you how to recognize that wealth is created by intellectual capital. It's all in the possibilities that we can create and that are created for us. These possibilities are destined to be discovered by human imagination and through the service of others, creating a brighter future for all of us. The Soul of Enterprise is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel, and simulcast at the same time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Semel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Semel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Sue Hawks and Ali Stiegelbauer, CEO and Business and Communications Manager of YES. So right before the break, we were talking about the communication kind of gap between millennials and the leadership in many of those businesses where millennials work, and how maybe technology has played a role in making that a little bit more difficult. So how do we bridge that bridge? How do we build a bridge to begin with in this constant need to give and receive information?
You know, my input on that would be, number one, you need to ask people, because we all have a unique recipe, and I think too often we're prescriptive about, oh, people like this prefer, versus saying, you know, how do I best communicate with you? And I think asking people questions like, how can I do that best when we're having a conflict, or when we might not agree, or when you're stressed, or when I'm stressed, or, you know, behaviorally getting some of the cues when they aren't present, because most of us wait until there's a conflict situation or an uncomfortable situation, and then we default to our own preferences, which are not always the same as the person we're having the dialogue with. And there's primarily four major communication styles. There's a more results-driven, bottom-line kind of communication, and they usually prefer short, sweet email to a face-to-face. And if it's a face-to-face, you would need to schedule it, and you would need to sit down and be very organized in your thinking. You wouldn't just walk in and start a conversation. And that would be radically different than the other three types of styles. A second style would be more data or analytically driven. And you want to explain everything with great detail. You would want to tell them ahead of time what you were going to talk to them about and specifics around it so they could prepare. Just showing up to have a conversation or spontaneously doing so would not work. Again, the more things that you can explain and in writing, preferred typically, and then you have the face-to-face when they've had time to prepare. A people or team-driven person usually needs a really compelling why, and they don't want anything in writing. They want you to sit down and say, can you help me, or can we help each other be more effective? And you come from a completely relational place. And it's not about the bottom line. It's about who is impacted by whatever's not working between us. And the fourth style would be someone that's more vision-driven, possibility-oriented. And that's someone you're going to want to, again, communicate face-to-face, in person, over written. And they're going to look for more of a direct hit, be straightforward, no fluffy stuff, let them know that this is important and get right to the point. And there's got to be a care for the relationship, but it's got to come fast and directly, or you're going to lose them in details. And so I think when you learn technology around different kinds of styles of communication, you can start to tailor it to how people prefer it, and that makes it easier to get to a resolution more quickly.
So how do you actually find out what people prefer? Because obviously they don't have it, stitched on their foreheads or on their in their signature somewhere in their emails. I prefer this way or that way. How do you go about actually, uncovering that, Sue?
You know, it takes practice more than anything. Mm-hmm. We have an assessment on our Say Yes website that people can take. It takes 5 minutes or less, and it helps them get that label so they more quickly can adapt to that. And Allie can send you that link.
Sure.
But you can also tell by voicemail and email easily. And the simplest instruction I give people is, if you listen to someone's voicemail or you notice how they write emails, reciprocate accordingly. And you will know very quickly if someone's more relational, if they have emoticons or an exclamation point, or if they start with a hi, how are you, and thank you so much, or if they're more straight to the point, or if they just have bullets and have negated your name on it. There are so many ways that I can tell within a minute what someone's primary style is and alter how I would give or receive the same information without pretending or faking it or anything.
So you are suggesting essentially that we take mirroring very seriously and we literally mirror the other person's style, right?
Yes, without getting to a point of, being annoying to them. You want to take what they prefer and give it back the same way, because chances are they've left their voicemail or emailed you in the way they prefer it.
So Allie, as a millennial, do you relate more or less to some of these four modes that Sue was just talking about? What's your perspective?
Yes, well, Sue has delivered this communication course for over 25 years all across the world, and any person will fit into one of them as their primary style. So mine is the style that is a little bit more informal but a dominant personality. So I like a fast pace. I don't mind, interruptions or multitasking, and I get a lot of energy from being with other people and working on a challenging, inspiring task.
And would you say, and obviously I'm asking you to guess more than, maybe actually that factually, but would you say is there a style that's more dominant among millennials?
I don't believe so.
Okay, so essentially the same kind of distribution that you have in the general population you find in any of the generations. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, good. Sue, I've heard you say before that millennials and entrepreneurs are similar. How is that?
Well, it was interesting. One day I came into work and I was truly just fed up, Sergio, from hearing all the complaints around millennials, because I was working with, one and a half of them. I think actually the other person was more of a Gen Z. And I really find it easy to work with them. And so I just had an idea around five things that I think they share with entrepreneurs, which I truly admire. And so we went out and did some research. By no means are we Gallup organization, but we went and validated it, and it was really quick and accurate. And what we found was both share a strong desire to change the world, that they're very committed to make the world better, not just change it for change's sake, but to improve it and leave some kind of a legacy. We found that they both want to design life on their own terms. They want to have control of their world and be able to use time to their advantage, that they'll work hard, but they want to design it the way they want it. We found that both really, truly value relationships above and beyond anything. If you matter to me, we'll get more done together. So you can't get those two things reversed.
Right.
they don't accept the status quo, meaning, you know, good is never good enough and mediocre will never do. So there's a drive for excellence and really hard work, actually. Mm-hmm. And then there's this intense hunger to learn. I think for millennials, how they learn, you know, they're more prone to Google and YouTube and that kind of thing, where I think those of us preceding them might be more out in the world and we default to Google, or we might use it now, but, you know, they grew in, that's just the way they do things. So it's always interesting to me, you know, in the interview process when you ask, how do you know that? And it's like, oh, I've seen YouTubes. It doesn't mean they've necessarily experienced it a lot, mm-hmm. but that's how they learn.
So, you know, you've dealt with hundreds, thousands of entrepreneurs. So given these five such strong and kind of fundamental similarities, how do you explain it that many entrepreneurs, like you said, keep complaining about millennials day in and day out all the time?
Honestly, I think they're moving too fast and don't build the relationships. And I think when businesses get bigger, the actual entrepreneurs at the top of the organization are not dealing with their youngest employees. They have people between them and the millennials or younger. And so the millennials just know them as sort of an authority figure. And I don't think they have the same reaction to an authority figure as they do to a relationship, you know, someone they really love and respect. But I'd leave that to Allie. And I think I share that, you know, I, as a Gen Xer, mm-hmm. I have a disdain for authority, and it's embedded. It's not something that I go around, you know, with a sword on, but that I can appreciate. If I don't have a relationship with someone, I'm not going to care a whole lot.
And what's your perspective, Allie?
Yeah, I would completely agree. I think the desire to, you know, change the world and create meaning is only heightened by having a relationship and getting to do that work with someone that you care about. And because relationships are so important, millennials will value that higher than they will their work, or, you know, the task that they're producing, or their salary, you know, monetary compensation. So if their boss, leader, mentor is someone that they really are inspired by and care about, they'll work extra harder, because that's the reward, is knowing that you're serving someone you care about.
Absolutely. So we are just about a minute or so away from the next break, but I want to actually spend just a few seconds here away from this conversation and talking a little bit to you about your latest book, Sue. Why Chasing Perfection? What made you write it?
You know, a lot of this is every leader's journey. And what I would tell you is, I think too many of us are striving for some perfect sort of ideal experience. And we have to combat imposter syndrome, if you're familiar with that. And
oh, very
the majority
much.
Of us, yeah, are struggling with that.
So take us really quickly through the kind of the architecture of the book.
So if we scroll through the chapter titles, and you've got them there, I've got to turn to them. You know, we have Unmasking Your Superhero, Balance is BS, Put on Your Oxygen Mask First, Conquering Catastrophe, Intuition is Your Superpower, Game Changers and Trailblazers, Backward and in Heels, Pouring Gas on the Fire, Unlearning to Learn, and Entitled to Enlightened. It's sort of the spectrum of what leaders go through, with two chapters pertaining specifically to women leaders, entrepreneurs, and business owners.
It's actually a really, really fascinating read. Highly recommend. So we'll take a break in just a couple of seconds, and we come back. I'd like us to spend a little bit of time now talking a little bit about the finding of the common ground across those generational gaps or bridges. So we'll be right back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
How is your work-life balance? In most businesses, no matter where you are positioned, there is always room for improvement. If you're an executive, learn insight about your business. Are you an employee? Learn how to better work with your team. Even if you're not in business, you can learn where your strengths and weaknesses can be played to their best potential. The Work-Life Balance with host Rick Morris can be heard live every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Serge Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Serge Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Sue Hawks and Ali Stiegelbauer, CEO and Business and Communications Manager at Yes. Right before the break, we spoke about your brand new book, Chasing Perfection, and I invite every single one of our listeners to go to Amazon and buy the book in whatever format you like it. And don't forget, after you read it, just go back to Amazon and leave a review. Tell people what you got, what were your primary takeaways from this wonderful little book. So back to this whole issue of intergenerational communication. So how can we move from seeing the barriers between generations, which is basically what we've been talking about for the past few minutes, to a place of real common ground and opportunity?
This is Ali. You know, Sergio, I think it goes back to what we were just discussing about the high value on relationships. I think if you can work to build a relationship and find, instead of focusing on what your differences are, but instead focus on what similarities you have, that's a huge step toward building a bridge. And I think also specifically in a work environment, focusing on what that other person brings to the team and how the two of you are working together toward a common goal, toward that bigger why, that really helps to establish a common ground that allows for better communication.
So from a millennial perspective, what is your kind of primary advice to your fellow millennials along those lines?
I think asking for what you need, what Sue was saying earlier, if you know that you work better when you can have frequent check-ins, you know, they need to be brief, of course, but telling your manager that, hey, I want to do my best work here and I want to serve the team and the company. This would really help me if we could just have a brief touch base. I think the manager would be open to that. But it also is about taking initiative and working to build those relationships with your coworkers who are a different generation than you. And what you'll find, I think, is that they might have some prejudices against millennials that then you can help them learn aren't true. So it goes both ways.
Of course. Sue, what's your perspective on this?
I think Allie's covered it well. I found, you know, as a leader, I'm pretty darn independent. So the need to meet is low on my list typically. But I also found that for Allie and some of the other people in our team that are younger, they have a need for FaceTime because they don't just want a boss and they don't want a task. And I was raised at a time, and I operate really well on my own, and they weren't. They were raised to collaborate and be on teams and do things in pairs. And there's even some research done, I believe it was done with the National Forestry, and they found out that the millennials were not gathering the data out in like Yellowstone Park. But when they sent them out in groups of two or three or more, they gathered better data than any individuals they sent out, but everyone prior had been a solo. And so when you look at these kinds of things, it's far more about that collaborative verbalization that there is a relationship at stake. Just like Allie said, there's meaning to why I would gather this data or why I would be in nature, where someone like me being more independent, and I think for many leaders, fiercely independent to the point where we aren't great teammates, you know, that meeting is what makes the work get done rather than it's time I'm taking away from things. It catalyzes it. And I think the other thing I would tell most leaders is you have to learn to listen. And I mean listen primarily so that the millennials are talking themselves through their own solutions, because they tend to come to us for answers. And I think older generations are very happy to provide them. And then they're frustrated because they aren't self-sufficient. Where in fact, if you let them talk and ask good questions and really learn to lead by letting them think, they actually come up with more efficient answers and they aren't as dependent. But I think left on our own, many leaders that are older or from other generations, I'll just say, who are more prone to tell and get to the next thing and moving fast because they're entrepreneurs, they miss great opportunities for these guys to bring the best of what they do to the table.
So, Sue, closer to the beginning of our conversation, I think in passing you mentioned something about sharing with people the why. So why is that important? Why is it important to share the why, and what are its benefits?
So this one's really important. So thank you for bringing it back up. You know, once you're having a conversation with someone, it's usually about what's working well and what's not working well. And right. In either case, if a millennial or anyone else for that matter, but I would say it's imperative with younger generations, when you have a big enough why, there's a purpose behind what you're saying. It's not just I'm complaining or I'm criticizing or I'm praising you and so what. That purpose, that big why, causes sustainability because now it's housed in a larger context or it has more meaning. And so people start to say, oh, well, that really matters because. And when they have a because, the likelihood of it occurring again without a lot of pushback is far greater than if you just say, hey, don't do that. What you did there didn't work. Or, wow, that was terrific working with you on the project. That was great. Do it again. People don't know why, and they start to say, well, I don't feel like doing it that way, or it doesn't make sense to me to do it that way, so I don't. So if sustainability and doing things once well is important to you, I think the why is your ticket there.
So I get the sense that you are recommending this to leaders and managers as part of their, if you wish, best practice as a manager, right?
Absolutely. And Allie has a great example of a story with this one.
I would love to hear, Allie.
Yeah, so one of the things that Sue taught me early when I joined our team was how to dress professionally. And I, you know, hadn't had a professional job before, so I didn't really know what I was doing. And I showed up to work one day and I had, you know, a new dress that I had just bought and I was excited to wear. And we had a client coming in that day and Sue had to have a, you know, tough conversation with me about that not being an appropriate outfit to wear to work. She said, oh, that's, you know, cute when you're out with your friends on the weekend, but we, you know, it's not business professional. And at first I was a little bit offended. And I thought, oh, this dress is so cute. I want to wear this. And as we got further in the conversation, and this is Sue's perfect point about, she asked me a lot of questions and she did a lot of listening and let me come to the conclusion myself, oh, this is not just about looking nice because there's business rules. It's, oh, this is really a way of showing our clients that we respect them and that we put effort into getting up this morning and serving them the best way that we could and putting them at ease. So she was able to tie it to that larger why of dressing professionally as a way of showing our clients respect. And once I heard that and that clicked in my head, I'm, you know, very happy now to make sure that I always am dressed professionally. And I still ask for her help a lot. I'll still run outfits by her if I'm not quite sure.
Well, this is actually such a great story. And of course, it makes me not being able to resist to ask the two of you a question. You know, there is another relationship besides the employer-employee between the two of you that we have actually talked about, which actually overlays over that on top of the layer of the two generational kind of disparity that we are talking about. Would you be willing to divulge what that relationship is?
Yes, Sue is also my mom. I'm very blessed to have her as both a parent and a boss and business mentor.
So many companies are family-owned companies, right? So, and we know the challenges, the difficulties that part of the management of a business vis-a-vis the ownership of a business imposes on a family-owned business. But here we are focused on the intergenerational kind of disparity or gap or bridge or bridges to build. So how does the family layer kind of add one more level of complexity? And I want to talk to you about, I mean, I'd like you to talk about your personal experience as well as Sue in your work. I mean, you like myself, you work with lots and lots of companies and some of them are family owned.
Yeah. So there, it's a double-edged sword. You know, what I would tell you is I have to put my familial relationship with Allie in the back seat when I'm at work. And that's a good thing for me because I think of Allie no differently than I think of my clients. I want to gracefully work through the tough stuff. So when I think about it, I can't just default into reaction because she's someone I'm going to see later and I can take that for granted. I am more at stake, I think, when things work and don't, because she's a reflection of me and my family as well as our business. And so I think there's a level at which I care so much. And she's a graceful, poised, strong young woman. And so it matters to me that she succeeds. And I take great pride in everything she does, not because I'm doing it, but because that's the mom part coming through. I think from a boss perspective, I just see her as this great employee and someone who can be shaped and molded extraordinarily. And I want to contribute to her in every way I can. So I don't think I take it for granted where I go, that's my daughter. And I can just shorthandedly say, knock it off. You know, I would not do that. I didn't do it at home. I wouldn't do it at work.
So we have just a few seconds before the next break. Allie, anything to add to how that is perceived from your end?
I would agree. And I think hearing Sue's answer, you can tell how lucky I am to have such a wonderful mom and mentor. But I would agree. I think we work extra hard at communicating well through the tough things because we care so much about each other and we don't ever want our personal relationship to be harmed by something that goes on in the business. So we're even more committed to gracefully having those difficult conversations.
Well, we'll have to take a 2-minute break right now. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about expectations. So don't go away.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement. Get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Sue Hawks and Ali Stiegelbauer, CEO and Business and Communications Manager at Yes. Right before the break, we spoke about your relationship, not only as employee-employer, but also the familial relationship. And kind of underneath all that conversation, there was also kind of this theme that I want to bring up, which is the theme of setting expectations. So how do you set clear expectations, especially across this generational gap?
You know, in my world, a properly formed request has five ingredients. It has a committed speaker, a committed listener, specific descriptions of exactly what the expectations are, what's to be done, which one condition is a timeline, which is day, time, exact date. And then there needs to be a response. And the response has to be one of three things. You must accept, decline, or counteroffer. Mm-hmm. And if any one of those ingredients is missing, which almost always it is, then you're going to have missed expectations. And it requires incredible discipline to be able to get all five of these every single time. Because the fault, if there was any, would lie upon the requester, not the person being requested of. And I think most of us have that wired up a little differently.
That's actually so, so important. So we were talking about the relationship between an employer and its, let's say, millennial employees vis-a-vis teaching them or telling them or bringing them or maturing them through the process of employment. So we often call that mentoring, right? So what role does mentoring actually play in working with the younger generation? And the other kind of a co-question I'd like to ask with that is, can you distinguish mentoring from coaching?
I'd be happy to take the mentoring and coaching part because I think people mistake coaching for a lot of different things. And I would say people put in teaching and training and therapy and mentoring all in the same bucket. And I think mentoring is really, truly someone who has been there, done that, who is a guide and teacher to someone who has not. And it doesn't mean that it's a one-way street, but it means that that mentor, the person who might be the older of the two or the more experienced of the two, because it might not necessarily depend on age, is helping the other person omit some of the mistakes that that person who's been there, done that, has already done. So I think there's a lot about reciprocity. And I think with coaching, there's a clear distinction of one person is being coached and the other person is asking questions. So there's very little interrelationship on, hey, let me tell you what happened to me when. There's far more opportunity to ask and let the person explore their own worldview, not as much to guide them, but to let them guide themselves and explore, to ask open-ended, non-leading, non-advice-giving questions, where I think those things can come into play with mentoring very easily. And I think with mentoring, it's very much about vulnerability and building trust. And I think coaches do those same things. But I think with a mentor, there's an expectation that, you know, trust has got to be high for me to really take you as more competent or more experienced than me and my free will, if you will.
So, Ali, as a millennial, what would you advise business leaders and managers when they are actually taking on mentoring somebody in your generation? What would be the kind of number one advice that we give them as to how to approach that mentorship?
I think it dovetails really well with what Sue just said, that trust needs to be there. Again, I think establishing a relationship is the most important piece because it lets the mentee know that you care and are invested in them. And again, similar to that being such a commonality between entrepreneurs and millennials, if they know that someone's invested in them and cares, they'll work that much harder. And it also makes those difficult conversations, like when Sue and I needed to discuss what a professional wardrobe looks like, it makes those conversations go so much better because you're not worried about, oh, I'm going to, you know, offend this person and they might not talk to me, so I'll just let this slide, or, oh, you know, they're going to fly off the handle. If that trust is there, they can say, you know, hey, I need to have this conversation with you, but it's because I care about you and I want to help make you better. And you can come from that common ground of, you know, working to lift each other up.
That's actually such an excellent point. I have a kind of a follow-on question for you, Ali. It was mentioned earlier, in fact, a previous segment, that something about this kind of practice of checking in with by a manager or a leader with his or her employees. So as a millennial, what's your perspective of how often, how frequent should be these check-ins?
You know, I think it really depends on the person. And I think, you know, again, we've mentioned this before, it's up to the manager to ask, you know, when someone's new, how much would you like me to check in with you? You know, we had another younger employee and I liked, you know, much more FaceTime than she did. And she's just 2 years younger than me. So I think it depends on the person. But when someone's new, I think it's important to check in frequently so that you can start to build that relationship right away. And I think, you know, it's also less about having, oh, we're going to check in, you know, at X amount of time every single day. That format and structure can be nice, but also just having that open relationship where the younger person knows, oh, if I have a question, you know, I can go to them. It's not, I'm not intimidated or I don't feel like that's not an appropriate thing.
So as we come to the close of our conversation, I want to give both of you an opportunity to give our listeners a gift via two very, very quick recommendations, one of a book and one of an app. So who would like to take it?
An app that I find really useful is a guided meditation app called Headspace.
Yep.
It's good for beginners exploring meditation. Sue introduced me to the benefits of meditation, and you can learn even more about that in our book, Chasing Perfection. But the Headspace app has just quick guided meditations that you can do right on your phone anywhere, whether it's your office, your house, an airport. And I found that's really helped me increase my focus and effectiveness.
Okay. And maybe a recommendation for a book, Sue?
You know, aside from Traction, which you and I would both recommend, can I recommend my own?
Absolutely.
Is that too self-serving? I think if, you know, for different reasons, that would be the one that I'm most focused on at this moment, if that doesn't seem too self-promoting, but it really, it's, you know, a leader's journey, and the book is written uniquely so that you read what you need. And that you don't have to read it cover to cover. So it really does meet you where you're at and what might be useful with practices inside for you to do and become better. And that's really, it's not a consume it and just regurgitate it book. It's a, wow, let's read it. Let's do some of it and let's integrate it.
Thank you so, so much, both you, Sue and Ali, for being my guests here. And thank you, our listeners, for spending this precious hour with us. If you found what you heard on this show helpful, point your business friends and your colleagues, point everybody to Operationally Speaking. And if you listen to us on our webpage at voiceamerica.com, don't hesitate to click on the banners to get your free consultation on how to turn your business vision into reality right now, right this very moment. Or send me a request at os@getbusinessmomentum.com, and you will be surprised by what's possible, and I promise you'll never regret that call, ever. So see you again next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern or 12 noon Pacific. And until then, make it an operationally sound and happy week. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to Operationally Speaking. Be sure to join your host, Sergio Semel, for another great program 1 week from today. We're live every Friday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel. In the meantime, you can reach Sergio for additional questions at 1-617-731-3132 or by email at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that is os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Enjoy your upcoming weekend, and may you and your business make it a smooth and successful week.